The following sermon was preached at Selma Community Church, a church in Jefferson City that exists to build communities of transformed disciples who live for the glory of God by connecting people to Christ and community. For more information, you can find it at www.somajc.org.
Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome. And as we continue to worship this morning, I want to read our scripture for today, but I also forgot to bring a Bible up here with me. Deb, can you hand me that Bible? I'm so stuck here. There's a Bible right next to you in the chair that's black and looks like this. If you don't have a Bible, you can pick this one up. Take it home. Put your name in it. It's our gift to you. It's yours now. Take it home, and we want you to be able to hear what God has to say through his word. Today, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 5, which is on page 810 in those pew Bibles, or wherever it may be in your own Bible, if you have it with you. And we're going to be starting in verse 21. And going through 26. And this is what Jesus says. He says, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder,' and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to a council, and whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you're offering your gift at the altar and they remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you're going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard and you be put in prison. Truly, I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. And we thank you that you came to show us how your kingdom is so much different than our human effort. Lord, we ask that you would reconcile us to each other. Lord, your word has made it so clear that it's important for us to have right relationships between each other. God, there's anger and bitterness and unforgiveness, Lord, that we harbor in our hearts, and I ask that you cleanse us of that and help us to reconcile to each other. Lord, we thank you for the ministry of reconciliation that you've given us to bring your peace and your good to the world, and we thank you for reconciling humanity to yourself through the cross. Lord Jesus, you are good, you are mighty, and you are powerful, and we praise you this morning, and it's in your precious name that I pray.
I'm so glad you guys are here today. My name is Andy Thornton. I am not the pastor of Soma, but it would be awesome to be, but John has that spot filled, and that is a great thing. So Pastor John is here today, and as you noticed, he's sitting up front here, right? Hello. And he was super sick, and I think he still is, so we're glad to share that with all of you this morning. And he will be resting up, I'm sure, and I'm excited. I'm actually excited he's here. He's one of my great friends, and he is just an inspiration to me. And we're going to start the sermon off just a bit different than I do most sermons, just because of kind of special circumstances this morning. But I promise I will not go later because we do this. So some of you who may be sitting there thinking, "Oh, we're going to do this," then he's going to preach, and it'll be like 12 points, and then we'll get out like 2. I promise that's not going to happen. Unless God wants it to, and then you can blame him and not me, and we'll go from there. But here's kind of what I want to do this morning. It's a little bit different, but it's something that I've experienced before, and it's something, I kind of want this church to experience. And, what we're going to do is, anybody who has, kind of senses the need when I describe this, I want you to think inside your mind and let your heart speak to you and just say, "Hey, that's something I kind of want to be a part of." Okay. So if you would bow your head, close your eyes. I want you to really think about this. No looking around or anything like that. Just want you to think. Just want you to think about this between you and God. Here's what I want to happen. And it's nothing you have to do. But I think it's something that is supernatural and incredible and blesses. And so here's what I want you to do. For those of you who sense this need, what I'm going to have you do is, as John's head is bowed and his eyes closed, I'm going to have you come up and just, I want you to touch him on his head or on his shoulders or his back or something like that. I just want him to feel a physical touch from any of you who want to do this. And we are going to pray over him and ask that God just touch him and heal him and give him the strength that he needs. And sometimes this isn't just a feeling of sickness in the stomach and stuff like this. There's an exhaustion that comes as being a pastor that is unlike any other I've ever experienced. I've been tired at work before. I've been tired when I have cut wood before. I've been tired when I've thrown hay bales before. But it doesn't compare to the emotional, physical, and spiritual drain that a pastor can experience. And every one of you can experience this. I get that. When you're helping in children's ministry, Lord have mercy, can you not get this experience? But this one's just a little bit different. This is the person who has on his shoulders the weight of the church that he takes to the throne room of God on a regular basis and says, God, I need your help. I need your help. I need your help. And John, of all people, knows that. He does not try to do it on his own. But there's something about him pouring into your life and you having this opportunity now to pour into his life. And so just kind of in this quiet stillness, I'm just going to ask for you to move around a bit. And those of you who feel led, come on up here. John's going to stay seated. And I just want you to do some praying over him. And then when I sense that that's kind of wrapping up, I'm going to do a prayer and then we'll get into the message. Okay. So you just come on up as you feel led. And thank you guys. Well, yeah, a little bit different now. So that hopefully shows you something. John leading by example, but also there are going to be times where you are going to need prayer. Now, sometimes that takes a lot of humility to be the person who sits there. Like, I understand where John's coming from because I was a pastor for quite a few years, and sitting there and having people pray for you, you're like, I really want to pray for them, you know, and I want to give into them. And sometimes it's hard to sit there and say, okay, you know, give to me, because we need that. Even Jesus himself needed that. He took special disciples apart and he asked them to pray. Of course, they fell asleep, but he asked them to pray and be like, come on, stay strong, brothers. And they were like, yeah, we're going to sleep. So, you know, you want to be better than that. But see, this is something that you yourself are going to have to experience sometime. There are times in our life where we get to the point, and I'm not saying John's there, he's there in this being sick, but there are times in our life where we struggle with things so much that we just got to throw our hands up and say, I can't do it. Cannot do it. There is a huge misconception that there is this verse in Scripture that says that God will never give you more than you can handle. Some people think, man, that's my life's verse. I hope that's not your life's verse because it's not in Scripture. And so that would be very disappointing. You'd be like, yeah, it's in Matthew something, you know. God will always give you more than you can handle. That's his whole way of training you and teaching you and loving you, because what it demands is that you turn to him and say, I can't. And he says, I can. So let me lift you up. And that's, man, it's amazing. It's like our kids, right? Like Tyreek is my logical son, right? He is logical. Tyreek is not going to jump off the side of a building and be like, Daddy, catch me. You know, that's not Tyreek. He's going to be standing there next to me like, that dude who's jumping is an idiot, you know, and that's kind of where it's at. My younger son, Darion, he's the one who I've got to watch because he'll crawl up on things and in the air mid-flight say, Daddy, catch me, you know, and I'm like bracing myself. And so it's this completely kind of different thing, you know, and so there's this amazing sense that you've got to, as a father, even let your kids understand the fact that they need you for things. There are points in their life where they're going to have to turn to you and say, I can't. And man, as a dad, I don't know about you guys who are fathers, but as a dad, I love that moment, right? I'm not kidding. I love it as a husband. Like when my wife can't open a jar, it's just the best feeling in the world. And by golly, I'm going to get that jar open. Like it's going to happen. I don't care how hard it is, but I'm going to be the savior of the pickle jar, right? I'm going to pop that thing open. And so there's that relying on me that I love. And I think God is sitting there saying, my children need to rely on me because there are things that they're not going to be able to do. Because get this, it's not that you and I fight against Satan, because if we were by ourselves fighting against him, he would crush us. It would be like me wrestling against Dwayne Johnson, right? It's just, I mean, I know I look like him, but I mean, it'd be so hard to, you know, to do that. Because I mean, he would crush me. He would crush me in 2 seconds. It would be real. It wouldn't be like the fake chair hitting and I'm like, it would be real. It would hurt, painful. That's what Satan's like. He is strong, but in no comparison to God is he strong at all. I mean, he has to come to God for permission. So, I mean, we serve a God who is, let's think of a word, God, right? I mean, Satan has to admit that you're God. You're God. That's it. And so, you know, I mean, just understand what we did there was a thing that you might have to experience in your life. And I would tell you, man, if you've got stuff going on, talk to your pastor about that. Say, man, I got this. I mean, pastors here, man, we hear so much. I mean, it's so great. We could never write a book because that would, you know, totally break trust and everything like that. But I'm telling you, there's stuff, as pastor, and from the most, people that you think of, like, no way, you know, come to you and they say this and you're just like, all right. And John, what's cool about John is nothing surprises John. So, I mean, you can come to him and be like, dude, I blah, blah, blah. And he's like, okay, cool. So let's deal with that. And you're just like, what? Because some pastors would be like, no, you didn't, you know? And he's like, no, man, I understand. I understand. Sin is there. Sin is in each of our life. And we're trying to defeat this. And it's through Christ that we do it. And so you're not going to shock him. So you can come to him and talk to him. And experiencing that prayer, you got to be humble. Got to be humble. But it changes you. Really does. It impacts you. It makes you know there's somebody in that foxhole with you, you know, that buddy that's going to stick with you through this battle. You cannot do it alone. So here's what we're talking about this morning. Totally not that, but we're going to go into the sermon just really quick here. I've got like 5 minutes, so that's great. But, you know, we read it just a little bit ago, Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 21. And this is a big pivotal moment in the sermon series that we've been on. And so you look at all the stuff that Jesus is teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, and he is talking about this kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like. And he starts talking about this different attitude that people have and all this just imagery that he shows about what's so different. And there's that whole image that you guys did that is so cool, that upside down, you know, where you've got the city that's up top kind of hazy and then it's upside down and you see it clearly. And it's this one right here. And what's so, whoa, big. Man, that was almost like a touchscreen. That almost made me think like, dude, is this a touchscreen? That was good timing. That was all, yeah, ready? Vanna White, right? So, I mean, there it is. And I can't believe I compare myself to Vanna White. That's disturbing. Dwayne Johnson, that's cool, but that was one of the guys. So anyway, there's the upside down. It throws it upside down. Now here's the interesting thing. When Jesus is doing the Sermon on the Mount, he's talking to a multitude of people, lots of different people. Remember, actually, he even has to in a while kind of get away from the crowd because he's done this big, massive multitude stuff, and then he's got to get away because he's going to invest in his disciples. Because he knows, man, you can always draw a crowd. You can draw a crowd. I mean, John could offer like the most amazing breakfast, free pizza, and $100 to everyone who shows up this next Sunday, and you'll pack the house out, right? And you could stand there and be like, wow, look what the kingdom of God is like. No, that's people getting paid to be here, right? So it's not the kingdom. You can always pack a house, but what God did is Jesus, as he was on this earth, God in flesh, looked around and he said, who do I need to invest in that is going to change this world? I've got to invest in some people who would die for this because this is not popular. And I'm very excited about living in this time because Christianity is getting less and less popular. There was a time period not long ago where Christianity was pretty popular. It was a place where people went to visit, like in communities. They would go to the church because that's where they got all their gossip. Sometimes still today that happens, right? You know, I mean, but it's less and less now. People sleep in on Sundays. People do other events on Sundays. People don't see it as sacred as it used to be. And I'm not here to preach that, you know, you've got to come to church because here's the difference. Coming to church is huge, and I'm all for it because it changes my life. It reminds me that I'm not in it alone, and I'm able to worship with people together. We're all kind of singing the same words, and that's kind of cool because in life, when you get separated and you go to your job and you may be the only person there that believes in this stuff, and you may be even singing in your mind or something like that, and you're just like, man, nobody else here believes this. And so it's really difficult at times. So coming together in a group is huge. But coming together in a group, just being in a group, doesn't mean that we've got it, right? Because here's what happens. Jesus is talking about this on the Sermon on the Mount, the kingdom of heaven is like, and guess who's there? All these people who are interested in hearing what Jesus has to say, and a group of people who are religious leaders called the Pharisees. And the Pharisees are standing around ready to nitpick, right? They're trying to find out something that Jesus is saying that they don't agree with. And right now, they're pretty red in the face because they're very mad at him for saying that he is the son of what? The son of God? Like blasphemy, right? If someone comes in here today and says, let me borrow your microphone. Hey, I'm Jesus. We'd be like, whoa, take a back seat there, brother. Like, let's hang on just a second. We need to check this out. Pharisees kind of got mad about this, and they were thinking there's no way that this is Jesus. He didn't come from the right family. He didn't grow up the right way, and that just cannot be him. That cannot be him. And Jesus is sharing all this sort of stuff, and then all of a sudden he gets the Pharisees back into it because he starts here in verse 21, and he says, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. And so I could just imagine how Jesus is talking and he looks over at one of the Pharisees and he goes, hey, you have heard. You've heard, haven't you? Not to murder, right? And, you know, a Pharisee's like, yeah, now you're talking. All right, I might like this guy, you know? And if you do murder, oh, let's see what happens. You shall not murder. And whoever murders will be liable to judgment. So they get killed, right? So that, oh man, now you're talking. Rules, right? Now you brought the rules out. So this is sweet. Okay? And so Jesus says, but I say to you, oh, fingernails on a chalkboard, right? Because you got Pharisee going, yes, that's the law. And Jesus says, but I say to you, whoa. Like now you're changing stuff. Wait, Jesus, now we're back to being mad at you, say the Pharisees. And so he says, but I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Well, now, wait, that's not what the law says. Like, hold on. Let's tear apart this law. Man, I just thought of this. I'm in the best place in the world to preach this sermon, right at Jefferson City, where all the, like, you know, politicians gather together and argue about this stuff. This is so cool. And so think about that, you know. Let's see, it's the letter of the law, the intent of the law, the letter of the law, that, you know, you're following that. And so it's like, man, if you commit murder, shame on you. Yeah, murder, that's a big one. How many of you in here think murder's a big one? Yeah, right? I agree. Murder's a big one. If you've murdered someone, confess your sin, turn yourself in. We'll pray for you. But here's the thing. Everyone standing there was thinking, yeah, murder bad, Pharisees, murder bad. And then he says, but I'm saying even a step further, if you hate your brother, if you call your brother a fool, if you call your brother an imbecile, Christian brother, your brother like in this room, you call them a name. If you have insults against them, if you are angry with them, you get the same punishment. Oh man, now see, I've been angry at people before, and so now all of a sudden I'm in that mix. How many of us in here have murdered? Probably everyone can keep their hand down. I'm just saying, if you have, don't raise your hand right now. That would not be good. But it, for the most of it, we have not. How many of us in here have had issues with our brothers? How many of us in here have gotten angry with other people and health? I know, just it's kind of slow. Just kind of put it up. Just like maybe itch your head just in the back. I got it. I got you. I see that eye, brother. I see it. So, I mean, it's one of those things that we do. Now, all of a sudden, Jesus just got real. And then he goes on to say, whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says you fool will be liable to the hell of fire. Yeah, yeah. So if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard and you be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. Okay, here's something about Scripture, and I'm sure John has said this a ton of times. There are parts of Scripture you can go to, many parts of Scripture you can go to, and you take it absolutely at face value. It is black and white. It's clear. You know, you either accept Jesus as your Savior or you spend an eternity in hell. I mean, these are black and white things. Jesus died on the cross. He rose again on the third day. These are black and white, crystal clear. If you come to this text and you say, okay, so what I'm looking for is how to judge the person who is mad at me, that they also maybe even should be put to death, you're off in understanding what this is illustrating. What Christ is saying here is this. To those of you who take it at the letter of the law and live your outside appearance to where you can walk around saying, as a Pharisee would say to the publican, that I am better than you, and thank you, God, for not making me like that person who has murdered somebody. thank you that I am not like them. So go visit a prison, visit people who have killed other people, and walk away from that saying, I am better than them. Right? Because that's what we will typically do. That's an honest human reaction. I would have that reaction. I would walk away thinking, yes, I've done life better than them. Have I made better choices than them? I would think so on the outside that I have, because I'm not in jail. I haven't murdered anyone. I haven't taken someone's life. But here's what Jesus is saying in this verse, and he will be saying it in verses to come as you go through this series, is he is saying, I'm not telling you just to look on your outside appearance. I haven't given you these rules to follow so that you look good on the outside. What he is saying is it is an inside deal. So we've got our upside down. Now Jesus is saying, I'm talking about the inside out. So the Pharisees are standing there with very, very proud spirits saying, I am better than these people. And Jesus is saying, no, actually, because of your inside and all of our insides, except for Christ himself, have wanted to be mad at somebody else, have held anger against somebody else. And so the first thing that Jesus says we have to deal with is anger. And man, I think that affects every one of us. Have we ever been angry at someone else? Yes. And has it been rightly so? Perhaps. Perhaps. I mean, there are people that do some stupid stuff, right? I've done stupid stuff. There have been people who've done stupid stuff against me. And we get angry at those people. And Jesus is saying, check your anger. Hold on for a second. What you need to do is get rid of that anger as fast as possible, because it is like a cancer that eats you up. It will dwell inside. Have you been there? How many of you, and we're going to be just gut honest here, how many of y'all have ever lost some sleep because you are so angry at a person? Has that ever happened? I know, right? I know. And you're trying to like count sheep, and then all of a sudden their head's on the sheep and you're like killing the sheep, and it's like not good. But it's just this, oh man, it gets in you. And then you keep, do you do this? Do you keep replaying the story in your mind? And it's almost like a fish story. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and you get madder and madder, infuriated. And you know, it's all of a sudden, and you know what's interesting is you think to yourself, like, I know what's happening. The dude I'm mad at, he's sleeping right now. Like, that even makes you more mad. Like, he doesn't even have a problem with what he did, right? And so that anger just builds up inside you. But boy, I haven't murdered anybody, right? And Jesus is like, wait. Here's what I'm saying. I don't want your outward appearance. I was thinking about when I was singing this morning. I've always been the type of guy who, this is weird, but I love to listen to sermons like all the time. And I'm not super big on the music. I mean, I love the music. The music is great. I'm sorry there, brother. You're like, whoa now, whoa. King David, I apologize, but the music thing. No, it's just, as a pastor, it's so hard sometimes. That's why it's so great to worship not being the pastor. Because as a pastor, I used to have these issues where I would look at the screen and I'd be like, come on, guys, push the next slide. Push. We're halfway through. Come on. You know, and so worship was not all that great. And then, you know, somebody played off or something. And, oh, dear Lord, no one's going to come back next week because it was, you know, horrible, horrible thoughts. But now, you know, it's like, man, it all, it's great. Anyway, way rabbit over there. So here, we're coming back. Here's the thing. So I listened to these sermons, and this is interesting. Today, though, it was like revolutionary to me, right? To where I sat there and I thought, this is what worship does. It allows me to go from the outside in. So all of a sudden, it stirs something inside me. And let me tell you why. Because every Sunday is the same with my wife and I. Every Sunday. Our goal is to get the children to the car, right? It's to get the children to the car. And every Sunday, there's one of them. And I love my kids. I do. I love you. But as Jesus said in this verse, but no, I love my kids. But there is always one who says, I don't want to go to church. I hate church. I'm just like, oh man, hate church, hate church. One, I'm failing as a parent because they hate church. Two, I'm like, you will go to church, you know? And it's, praise Jesus, right? And so you get them into church and you get them in the door and you're hoping that the Sunday school lesson changes their life and that, you know, something happens during church and, oh my goodness. And so you the outside looks good because we all walk, how you doing? I'm fine. How you doing? Man, this week is great. bless the Lord, oh my soul, you know, and just that's how we are. And inside it's just like, you know, and we get there. And then all of a sudden the music starts and like, oh, here's the music again. Here's the music, you know, and then it starts playing. And then you start listening to the words. And then all of a sudden it's just like, I mean, the Holy Spirit just moves when they're in. Are people gathered together, and even if you're, I mean, you can be here and you're like, man, I don't even believe in Jesus. I'm just cruising through a church because somebody asked me to come, or I found myself here. I don't even know why I'm here. I thought this was a new Starbucks. I don't know. But you're sitting here and you're just like, man, this is, it's kind of different. And the Holy Spirit will even work on you. And it just becomes this focus that starts to change. And all of a sudden on the inside, I'm like, man, I really want to worship God. I really want to praise him. And you start doing that and it starts becoming this inside out. And what Jesus is saying is if you have all this anger that is built up on inside of you, there is no room for me. There's no room for me to be there. And he wants to empty you of that. And how, I mean, for those of us who raised our hand on losing sleep over that, man, don't we want to just give that up? Don't we want to just let it go? And guys, I've heard the stories and I've lived a blessed life. My parents were amazing parents. They love me with all their heart. They raised me up in church. I mean, they have done great, great things. And I've heard stories of parents that have been awful to their kids and have done horrible things. And there have been maybe people that have offended you or done stuff to you that is beyond the thinkable. And your anger is there. And this is what I want to tell you is that Satan is so happy to fan that flame of anger and to keep it going, and to make it bigger, and to make it hurt. And you can come in, and you can look so good on the outside, and have a broken smile on your face, and say that Jesus is awesome. But on the inside, what you really want to say is, how dare Jesus even let this happen to me? I'm so mad at him. I'm so frustrated at God. And you will get to the point where you hate God because of the anger that's inside you. Because the outward appearance, we can only put up with this so much. This is the fake. This is the shell that we have. Every one of us have it. If we were to expose ourselves this morning to the inside of us, and you would see everything that's going on with each person, I think that it would just depress us to no end. But God sees that, and he loves you, and he says, I can help you. I want to help you. I want to help you. And all you've got to do is have the humility to say, God, take it. Here's my anger. Take it. And I know that's so much easier said than done. But as Jesus was talking to the Pharisees who were so proud of their outward appearance, who thought they had everyone fooled, on the inside, it must have been tearing them up. One of my favorite stories in all of Scripture is John chapter 3, because Nicodemus, who was a Pharisee, came to Jesus at night scared to death that his friends would see him come to Jesus. And he asked him a question. He goes, what must I do to be saved? I mean, there's a transition from being a Pharisee who wants him dead to say, look here, I know that you're a teacher sent from God. I'm still a little fuzzy on the whole Jesus being the Messiah thing, but I need to know what it means to be saved, because there is something that you're offering that is, it's doing something inside me. Because, man, we can all look good on the outside. We can make ourselves, we could put the little fishy on our car that makes us look like a Christian or something, or get tattoos of Bible verses and all sorts of stuff that just, oh, Jesus, and wear the right t-shirt and just say the right thing, like our Christianese, like, man, we all got the Christianese, don't we? I mean, what does amen mean, right? Do we know it? What does amen mean? I agree. Amen. Yeah, I agree, right? Hallelujah, we've got that one, right? I mean, we've got all these Christian words. Like, what does it mean when you said, let me pray about it? It means no, you're not going to do it. That's right. I know. Will you help in children's ministry? Let me pray about it, brother. I got you. Very nice way of saying no. It's true. You know it. That's why you're laughing. It's true. And so Jesus comes with this straightforward verbiage that says, those of you who have anger in your heart, it's the same as if you went out and murdered somebody. Are the consequences the same? No, but it's killing you. It's killing you. It's eating you alive. Here's what's going to happen next week. You're going to move. Do you guys ever read forward? Because if you read forward, you may not show up for certain sermons. You may be like, yeah, I'm going to skip this one. But because you know John's not going to skip over it, right? And but the next one is so bad, too, because in the Pew Bible here on page 810, it just has this big word, lust. right on. It's just lust. It's like, I know all the guys are like, all right, maybe next week we go fishing or something. No, I'm just playing. Here's the thing, though, is here's what Jesus does. He says, I know you. I know your heart. Jesus knows what you think. Jesus knows everything about you, and he loves you. Loves you. You struggle with anger, he loves you. Struggle with lust, he loves you. But let me tell you something. Are you ready to get that out of you? Yeah, you are. I mean, we've all been there where we're like, God, take this and let it never come back to me ever again. And God can set you free. And there are times where you go and you pick it back up again. Because all of a sudden, Satan just makes it look so good, right? To be angry at somebody. Because I'm angry and I have a right to be angry at them because they did wrong, right? And so you want to pick that up again. Oh, man. And Jesus says, let it go. Let it go. And then Jesus even turns a corner. And this is where we end today. Jesus turns a corner. He says, man, you know those people that are just idiots and jerks and have been mean to you, right? And we're all saying amen to that.
I agree.
Right? We're all saying that. I agree. There are mean people out there. And then Jesus turns and he says, man, I don't even want you to go to worship. I don't even want you to lift your hand and praise my name unless you've taken care of the people that you've wronged. Man, you know, Jesus, you were my friend for a while. You had my side. I saw you were mad at the guy I was mad at, so we were all cool. And then all of a sudden, Jesus turns and says, now what about you? What about the stuff you've done to people? What about the stuff I've done to people? You know what is interesting I found in studying this is that Jesus says, you lay your gift down. What, you know, either you can take it many different ways. Either you were worshiping in song or you're worshiping through the word. And a lot of people take it as worshiping even through giving, through donating, through tithing, giving of what God has given them. Isn't it so much easier to just throw money at it, to give? It really is. It would be easier for me today to write a check for $1,000, which wouldn't even be in my bank account, but don't cash it for about 6 weeks. But you write a check than to go to a person and take care of something that you wronged them on. I'd rather do that. That's hard. That's humiliating. Being humble. To go to them and say, look, man, I did this, and I am sorry. I offended you, and if you can find it in your heart to forgive me, please do. It takes a lot. It's hard to start that conversation, isn't it? What do? Do you take them to get coffee and weird and everything? They're like, yeah, I love this coffee. You're like, yeah, me too. Hey, listen. You know, and they're like, what, dude, what? You know, man, I wronged you, you know, and it's like you kind of want to be in that back corner of the coffee house, not like out in front where everyone's listening. And I was like, what is that dude doing? He's apologizing. But and that's what Jesus says. He says, wait, man, don't come raise your hand and sing praises and say God is awesome when you're just filled with hate inside you or when you've hurt someone and you know it, your brother in Christ. And I know in a room this size, man, that there's probably somebody who has a problem with somebody in this room. And it happens. It does. Church is where it happens. Satan sneaks in because we are all messed up people and we all bring a little bit of him with us, right? We all come in here with our baggage and our issues and it's messy. And all of a sudden someone doesn't smile right or someone says something and they offend the stink out of you and they don't even know it, right? Or you've done something to somebody and you know you did it, but you feel like you had the right to do it. Or you were having a bad day. Or what about this? This is my biggest one. This is the one where I struggle. Is where you do something wrong, but you're like, man, I know. They know what I'm thinking. I mean, they're cool with me, surely. You just kind of write it off. You know, you're kind of like, yeah, it's cool with us, I'm sure. Instead of being the man and walking up and saying, man, I don't know if you're offended at this or not, but I did it and I apologize. Have a real conversation. Man up to it, right? I mean, have that real conversation. That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, I want your inside. I want your heart. I want every part of it. Let me give you an illustration and I'll end. This is because I'm a picture person. Like I love seeing movies. I'm a movie guy. The reading part of things, I like it. I can read, so I'm excited about that. But I mean, on the whole, on the whole, if I'm going to read a book or watch the movie, I'm not the guy who's like, man, that movie was nothing like the book. I'm like, that movie was great, man. I never read the book, but that's okay. So here's the thing. So a picture, right? I remember growing up and my mom, right, when we had like guests come over, family come over, stuff like that. You guys might be the same way, but our house was always, what did my mom call it? She called it lived in, right? It was lived in. Well, we live in our house, right? So messed up. It was messed up because I had two other brothers and we just, you know, left stuff laying around all the time. But when guests came over, it was cleaning time, right? I mean, you got to hurry up and get on it because you want everyone to think this is how you live. But we all know this isn't how you live. If you got kids, you don't live like this. I guarantee it right now. But some people, perfect. They're like Pottery Barn all the way. I mean, they look just perfect. And we, not so much, but we clean everything. And where did it all go? Closets. That's right, man. Closets. I mean, it was like you just hoped that they wouldn't mistake that for where the bathroom was at because it was going to kill them when they came out of the closet, right? So you stuff it all in there and everything like that. And it almost seems like maybe that's how we come to church on Sunday, where we just stuff it all in that little closet. We come in, we look good, right? Hey, how you guys doing? Man, it's been a great week, blah, blah, blah. And it's all in that closet. What Jesus is saying, he comes in as a house guest and he's looking around. He's like, that's great. It's great. It's great. Hey, show me that closet. You're like, well, Jesus, come on, man. Why do you need a closet? It's summertime. You're not wearing a coat. You don't need to go in the closet. And it's like Jesus says, I want every inch. I want every inch. Because here's the thing, guys. When you give him that, and you're going to hear this week after week, when you give Jesus that, there is a place that he then invades inside you and replaces the anger, replaces what you're going to hear about with lust, replaces what you hear about not telling the truth, and about he takes all that stuff and he replaces it with the Holy Spirit. And let me just tell you, when you come to worship and those areas that were filled with other stuff are now filled with the Holy Spirit, it's different. It is different. Your life all of a sudden has meaning and you see purpose. Now, I will never preach this, and I know John won't either. When you do all that, you don't become rich and famous. I mean, God may make you rich and famous. I have no idea. But you're not doing this as like this whole equation of how to get a better life with money and riches and fame. What you're doing this is how to get a better life knowing Jesus more intimately. Because I want you to know, when you know him intimately, it is, as scripture says, sweeter than honey in a honeycomb. Like, I mean, it is good. It's so good, right? So let me pray with you right now. If you just bow your head, close your eyes. And right now, as I pray, I just want you to think about if you are angry at somebody, if you have just feelings against them, or if you've done someone wrong, I don't want this to go too long without being checked. Let's say this week that you get that right. Maybe even today you get that right. And it's not a calculated, you know, phone call and say, hey, forgive me. Okay, I checked it off my box. It's real. It's asking for forgiveness or giving someone forgiveness. Father, I pray that over this group of people, that your Spirit, including myself, Lord, over me, that your Spirit would move inside each and every one of us and help us to see what you need us to do. Help us to go to the person that you need us to go to. Man, I pray that today Satan's whole plan will get some major, major strongholds built up against it by people saying, no, not today. Not today, Satan. I'm going to serve Jesus. I'm going to let this go. I'm going to clean this out. God, the person who is going to plant in our mind that this is going to be shameful is Satan. We think, oh, this could be bad. This could be bad. Oh, that's Satan just putting that in our mind. God, to be real and to ask for forgiveness is good. You are there with us. You applaud it. You are a champion for it. And you just, man, you are excited when your kids are saying, yes, today I'm going to do this. I'm going to serve my God. So, Lord, you have hit us with some hard words in this sermon. Because we do look at other people. I look at other people and I say, oh, man, that, yeah, they've made some poor decisions in their life. Probably worse than me. God, you say, Andy, look at your heart, brother. Your outward appearance may look all right, but look at your heart. Where's it at? What do you need to clean out? And so today, Lord, we look at anger, and I pray that we get it out of us as quickly as possible. Jesus, we love you so much, and we thank you for everything that you've done. We give you honor and glory in our lives, and we pray that we will just serve you continuously. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the audio of Soma Community Church, located in Jefferson City. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for the content or alter it in any way without express written permission. For more information about Soma, please visit us at www.somajc.org.